There's some beautiful scripture and beautiful theology behind this feast, right? In that responsorial psalm from the Old Testament, the queen stands at your right hand, arrayed in gold. Whose right hand? The king. She's the queen mother, who had a role, a responsibility more important than any other official next to the king. Sometimes kings in the Old Testament had multiple wives, but they only had one mother. And she was important because her legitimacy legitimized the king. And so in the Old Testament, there's the story of right after Solomon has had his kingship established, what's the first thing he does? His mother, Bathsheba, comes in to visit him, to petition him, and immediately he bows down to her, he brings the throne and sets it at his right. Said, this is the place for the queen mother. The queen stands at your right hand, arrayed in gold, in glory, in beauty. So it was an important intercessory and advisory role throughout the Old Testament. And now we have the great king who has taken his throne on high in his ascension. And in that first reading from the book of Revelation, we heard a glimpse of that, or heard a little bit of that, right? This woman, clothed with the sun, kind of like arrayed in gold, the moon under her feet, crowned with 12 stars, seems like a queen, and she's pregnant. She's a mother, queen mother, and she's wailing aloud to give birth. But it's kind of a strange story because as soon as she gives birth to one destined to rule all the nations with an iron rod, her child was caught up to God and his throne. That's the ascension. Jesus, after he conquered death, right? The dragon is there waiting to devour him in death. And then he's caught up to heaven, the resurrection and the ascension. And so there's something beautiful there about then Jesus desiring his mother not to be far from him, right? To be with him. My own mother, I think, is a beautiful woman, a great woman. You know, growing up, I used to call her mom, mean old mom. But looking back, she was never really mean. I mean, I deserved it. She was just and so, so patient and taught me so many things. Right? A lot of times my dad was busy working on the farm and growing up during the day, she taught me what it meant to be a human, what it meant to be a brother, a son, what it meant to be a friend. Mothers teach us so many things. And the older that I get, the more gratitude I have for all that she endured, not just in giving birth, but in raising myself and my 4 siblings and dealing with everything and still dealing with so much. So the older I get, the more gratitude and appreciation I have for my mother, the more love I have for her. The more I want to take care of her, the more I want to care for her as in some way as she cared for all of us. And here I am, a great sinner who struggles to love well, who struggles with selfishness. Can you imagine Jesus, who does not struggle with selfishness? Who does not struggle with love, and who kept all the commandments, including that 4th one, honor your father and your mother. How much he would want to take care of her. How grateful he would be to her for all that she did. In that gospel, we hear First of all, we see Mary's heart, where the angel Gabriel has just left her. You're going to be the mother of God. And Mary immediately sets out in haste to take care of her cousin Elizabeth. And when she greets Elizabeth, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. If Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, how much more was Mary filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And Elizabeth prophesies by that Holy Spirit, "Blessed are you among all women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. You are the mother of my Lord." The mother of my Lord. And then Mary responds with this beautiful Magnificat. Well, Elizabeth also says, "Blessed are you who believed, you who are the woman of faith, of great faith, you who believed." It's a great title for Mary, the one who believed. And then Mary responds with this Magnificat, this beautiful canticle, prophecy of her own. "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord," it sometimes is translated. Right? But God is the one doing these things. But through her, he is magnifying what he is doing. He is making great what he is doing. And for he has looked upon his lowly servant. She calls herself a lowly servant. That's part of her humility. But then, jump ahead. A little bit later on, what does she say? "He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and lifted up the lowly to the throne." She's already anticipating or seeing in a vision, so to speak, what God will do for her. And we say now has done for her. Lifted up the lowly to the thrones where the mighty had been cast down. That's one of the reasons why we celebrate this feast day today. The Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the lowly servant who's been raised on high. Mary gives us such a beautiful example of lowliness. She didn't think about herself. She thought about others. She thought about her cousin Elizabeth. She thought about Jesus. The Holy Spirit filled her. And she thought about herself as a lowly servant, handmaid. "From this day, all generations will call me blessed." She could even be truthful about herself without being centered on herself. The Almighty has done great things for me. Ours is the striving. God's is the achieving, the working, the doing great things, the magnifying. He will raise us when we make ourselves lowly. He will raise us to the heights as well. That's the beautiful feast day today. It's a feast day of hope. It's a feast day of looking to what God intends for us to be, calls us to be. When we are discouraged, when we're struggling, you know, when my mother was like, "How much longer do I have to endure these children?" She says that still today. She raises her eyes and looks to the Blessed Mother and says, "There's my hope. There's my hope. Because the Lord has worked great things in her and can indeed work great things in you and me. And will, if we humble ourselves, to become his lowly servants."